Okay. In Heavenly Places, page 116. It's titled for April 19th, and it's it says, well, actually, the title is Take God's Word on Trust. Okay. And it says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine sake, mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. And then Sister White goes on to say that Satan will come to you saying you are a sinner. This is amazing. I was just answering an email in regards to this. It's on the questions and answers, which I'll probably do next week if I don't finish this sermon that I'm working on. But she goes on to say that, but do not let him fill your mind with the thought that because you are sinful, God has cast you off. Say to him, yes, I am a sinner, and for that reason I need a Savior. I need forgiveness and pardon. And Christ says that if I come to him, I shall not perish. In his letter to me, I read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Again, a verse that's used so often today. You know, for those of us that are, you know, working with the people. Oh, and by the way, because I can't upload, if I can't fix this tonight before we go to bed, and I'm not going to waste a lot of time on it either being Sabbath. Yeah, Dave is going to have to put some. Put the link in the room, please. I think I still have it in the cache here. Let's see. Nope. I got somebody's praise list in the cache. So hold on. But yeah, if I can't fix this FTP problem tonight, then the link, then the notes for Brother Craig's sermon tomorrow. There's the link, by the way. The notes for Brother Craig's sermon tomorrow won't be in the room. In the bottom there, when you scroll down. Yeah, because I don't want to, you know, waste all time with that. Yeah. Anyway, she goes on to say that I will believe the word he has left for me. And the moment you grasp God's promises by faith and say, I am the lost sheep that Jesus came to save, a new life will take possession of you, and you will receive strength to resist the tempter. But faith to grasp the promises does not come by feeling. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. See, but faith to grasp the promises does not come by feeling. Yeah, amen, amen. You can't. And there's so many people, you know, in today's world, especially Christians, a lot of people that claim to be Christians, they misunderstand discernment with gut feeling or something, or their conscience or their own flesh-built desires. I can remember many a times talking with people, and they'll stare me right in the eye and boldly tell me, because they are overwhelmingly convinced. They're not lying to me. They don't know what they're saying is absolute fault or all, but they honestly believe with their heart of hearts. You could tell just by looking in their eyes that what they just told you, even though you know it's doctrinally wrong, they believe that the Holy Spirit told them. I get emails like this, too, but you can't look at their eyes, of course. But I get email just the other day, as a matter of fact, from a guy calling himself a prophet. And I didn't respond because I'm done with playing those kind of games. But I can remember some time ago, years ago, in fact, where, you know, because I get emails like that all the time from people claiming to be prophets, and then they'll praise the work that you're doing, and then all of a sudden they want to be acknowledged by you so that they can go forward and proclaim that they are indeed acknowledged by others. And that's just not happening, you know. But what he's, you know, the doctrinal errors and stuff like that, and they honestly believe them because they put their creeds above the scripture. And where was I? Oh, yeah, and then and instead, like with the feeling thing, there's a big, and this is something all of us as Christians, we all got to work on this, you know, myself included. You got to get to a point, and this is where you get the golden fleece type of prayer and things like that, and which reminds me, let me put a thank you here in the praise list. I want to tell you something that the Lord's been doing for me lately. I'll share it later. Because you know, I get my little, I don't do the golden fleece that much anymore. And for those of you that don't know what it is, it's just, you know, you're seeking for an absolute answer in a specific way. I'll get hairs. In other words, I get these little tiny prayers I'll throw out there, and instead of the actual golden fleece itself, it's just one of the hairs. And so, you know, that's how I consider just little hairy little prayers. I know I'm kind of strange, you know, the way I fashion things in my mind, but it seems to work for me. But there's so many people out there and like I said, we all have to work on this. We have to fine tune our discernment. You can't, like when David was running from Saul, King Saul, he didn't just have a feeling that he had to go to that cave or a feeling that he had to go to that city or town or that direction. He knew. He had that discernment from on high. And no GPS tracking devices, no walkie-talkies, no cell phones, none of it. Not even drones following Saul around so that he can tell where he was so that he wouldn't be there. He just had the Holy Spirit, and he understood what the Lord would have him, you know. And plus, you also have to keep in mind, there wasn't a lot of confusing distractions in his day. Sure, there were distractions. I mean, Bathsheba, that was one of them. But, you know, there's distractions, yeah, but it's not like today. Today it's insane. Everything from video games to TV to videos on YouTube to driving down the road and window shopping. You know, like we used to call it when we were young. You drive down the road looking for people and just, you know, you're driving, you're looking at everybody's cars. You're looking who's there. Distractions, and then the billboards, and then, you know, the music. And I mean, it's just crazy the amount of distractions today. And so it was a little easier to stay in track, I would think, especially if you stayed in the Word in those days. There wasn't a lot of stuff that would pull you off the path. But she says here, but faith to grasp the promises does not come by feeling. And, of course, she quotes Romans 10:17 again. You must not look for some great change to take place. You must not expect to feel some wonderful emotion. Take God's word on trust, saying he loves me, he gave his life for me, and he will save me. Look away from yourself to Jesus. Embrace him as your Savior. Cease to bemoan your helpless condition. You know, like we always say, let go, let God. You know, it's kind of like what's been going on here in our family for a couple of years. You get to the point where you just got to embrace the Lord and says, okay, thy will be done. You know, we can't. And the enemy knows that you've made that decision, right? Because he can see how you're relaxing in your spirit. And so guess what? All these little gremlins come around and they start causing all these problems. And this is what we've been seeing lately here with the attacks to the ministry. And some of you, too. Like, I get the phone calls and the emails, so I know what you're all going through, too. But, hey, we're striving onto that perfection because we want to be part of the Gideon band, and so we have to expect this. This is going to happen. And just like with a bodybuilder, he's not going to be able to be in the position, or a soldier, or anybody. You're not going to be in the position you want to be at in the future unless you do that which you need to do to get to that position, like a bodybuilder will work out with the weights, or a soldier will make sure that he's well-prepared. And this is what we have to do, because we're in a war. We're in a holy war. And that's part of my praise list today, too, is what I'm going to share with that revelation the Lord gave me in the midday prayer. Which has nothing to do with the little thing that I mentioned a moment ago about thanking him about something. But she says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you will be inspired with hope and will see the salvation of God. When you feel tempted to mourn, force your lips to utter the praises of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. It says in Philippians 4, verse 4. And that's something, too, that he reminded me. I think that is part of my prayer. Let's see. Rejoice, rejoice. Yeah, that is part. I'm going to save that. I'm not going to comment on this one here, Philippians 4:4, okay? Because that's another thing that, like, I think that's part of my praise for today. But she says, is he not worthy of praise? Then educate your lips to talk of his glory and to magnify his name. And as a matter of fact, when you do that, and you do that often, especially around family members, it just becomes part of your vocabulary to the point when you're on the street talking to a complete stranger, or the lady at the post office, or the cashier, whoever you talk to, you know, speaking of Jesus, or speaking of the Lord, or speaking of the Holy, you know, the Holy Spirit, or Father, or whatever, however you want to name him, of course, strictly by the book, because there's many names for Christ, and so you, I'm not talking about these weird gods of Islam and all this other malarkey, but you'll find it, if you make it a habit around the house, eventually it'll be second nature on the street. And I don't care if their eyebrows jump up. I don't care if they all of a sudden get a little bit uncomfortable because I'm talking about their God as much as my God, even though they don't acknowledge him as their God. He's still their creator. So they're going to have to deal with it. Tough. You know, and it doesn't matter if they're homosexual or a drunkard or an atheist. It don't matter. You know, it's just what Christians should be doing. And so, like she says, educate your lips to talk of his glory and to magnify his name, because when it does become second nature, you'll be able to evangelize without even realizing it sometimes. You just, the way you talk. And then she says, today the Lord says to you, be not discouraged, but cast your burdens upon me. You cannot carry your own sins. I will take them all. If you will trust in me, you will not want any. You will not want any good thing. What? If you will trust in me, you will not want any good thing. Maybe bad thing too. Anyway, she says, never has a soul that trusts in Jesus been left to perish. I am He, the Lord declares, that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. So, amen and amen and amen.